This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. 100 years ago, Yitzhak Singer was born into a rabbi's family in Poland. He became a writer in the Yiddish language, and he fashioned from his mother's name, Batsheva, the pen name Isaac Batsheva's Singer. He moved to New York in the 1930s and published novels and short stories that evoked the old world of Warsaw and the life of the Jewish village, the shtetl. Later, he wrote of the new world of apartments and cafeterias on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. His stories were not sentimental. Singer's shtetl was a place of danger, of sexuality, of mysticism. As he told NPR in 1978, he believed a story should be suspenseful.
I am, in this respect, an old-fashioned writer, and I don't try to be the last word of modernism, because I know that modern, what is today modern, will be dated 20 years from now and forgotten 30 years from now.
Singer won the Nobel Prize. He died in 1991, and now, almost 30 years from that interview, his stories have been collected and republished by the Library of America. Professor Ilan Stavins of Amherst College is the editor. His field is actually Latin American and Latino literature, but he grew up speaking Yiddish in Mexico, and he's mindful of the significance of a Yiddish writer being published in the same series as Henry Adams, Willa Cather, and Richard Wright.
Does he belong there? Certainly he does. He is at once a Yiddish writer and an American writer. Sometimes the two identities live in peace with one another. Sometimes they are at war. And in the eyes and minds of many readers, that war sometimes takes the form of animosity and anger and envy. And others takes the form of a celebration. Yes, he is a Yiddish American writer that is a Jewish American writer.
Talk a little bit about his relationship to the English language and how it changed over the course of his career writing in the United States.
Isaac Batsheva Singer arrived in the United States in 1935 from Warsaw, hoping to become a correspondent for the Jewish Daily Forward, the most important Yiddish language newspaper at the time. Its circulation was roughly 200,000 copies. He was a Yiddish writer already, having published a novel, and arrived in the United States hoping to become a Yiddish writer even more. He wasn't thinking of changing the language, but he was mystified by the way Yiddish was spoken in the United States. He thought it wasn't spoken, it was destroyed. It wasn't Yiddish, it was Yinglish. And he fell into some sort of writer's block that lasted for almost a decade. Eventually, he emerged from this writer's block writing in Yiddish, but having found a connection with America that I believe is unique. He made use of close to 40 translators who catered him into an American readership. Sometimes those translators knew Yiddish perfectly. In other occasions, they didn't know even a single word. He would transliterate for them. They would prepare an English version of the short story. He would approve that version, and eventually that version would get published. This to tell you that Batsheva's identified with English as the language of the new home. And although he presented himself often as one that didn't fully understand Shakespeare's tongue, he knew exactly how it worked, and he worked closely, he collaborated with his translators, to the extent that the English versions became second originals, and most of the translations ever done to other languages of Singer's work are based not on the Yiddish, but on the English.
One thing I've been surprised to learn about Singer after reading the biographical essay about him is that he was really plucked out of the world of Yiddish letters by quite assimilated and secular, typically Jewish American writers and critics, people like Irving Howe,
right.
And later Saul Bellow translates this short story, Gimple the Fool. A speculative question.
Sure.
If it had not been in the late 40s, early 50s, if it had not just become evident that the civilization of Yiddish-speaking Europe had just been murdered by the Germans, do we think people would have promoted I.B. Singer? Would he have become translated and read with the enthusiasm that he was?
Of course, it's the question that one always wants to pose, and the question that is so difficult to answer. What if? There's no question that that generation, the young American assimilated Jewish generation, the one that came of age in the 50s and in the 60s, is the one that embraced Singer in a way that his own generation did not. His own generation, my grandmother's generation, would always complain that Singer was too melodramatic, mm-hmm. that he was too sexual, that he was not good for the Jews, that one should not read him. Instead, the next generation was eager to see a new perception of what Eastern Europe was all about. He made the Eastern European past American, and that might have been his biggest sin. He turned it into a Hollywood-like version. And Hollywood, in the eyes of Yiddish writers, of serious Yiddish writers, so to speak, is anathema. It's prescribed. It's not accepted.
Is there a passage from one of the stories that you could read for us that means something special to you?
I would love to read the first paragraph of Gimple the Fool. Gimple the Fool. I am Gimple the Fool. I don't think myself a fool. On the contrary, but that's what folks call me. They gave me that name while I was still in school. I had 7 names in all. Imbecile, donkey, flaxhead, dope, glump, ninny, and fool. The last name stuck. What did my foolishness consist of? I was easy to take in. They said, Gimple, you know the rabbi's wife has been brought to childbirth? So I skipped school. Well, it turned out to be a lie. How was I supposed to know? She hadn't had a big belly. But I never looked at her belly. Was that really so foolish? The gang laughed and stomped and danced and chanted a good night prayer. And instead of the raisins they give when a woman's lying in, they stuffed my head full of goatherds. I was no weakling. If I slapped someone, he'd see all the way to Krakow. But I'm really not a slugger by nature. I think of myself, let it pass. So, okay, they take advantage of me.
Ilan Stavins, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. A herzlichen Dank.
Let's thank you in Yiddish from Ilan Stavins, who is editor of the just-released 3-volume set, Isaac Bashevis Singer, Collected Stories. It's published by the Library of America.